There's a thing lurking in the online business space that no one really talks about. And today I'm going to talk about it. Bum, ba, da, bum, bum, bum. Welcome to the Productivity Project, episode 1 for 2024. Woohoo! Haven't got my jingle filmed yet. I really hope you enjoyed my singing, guys. Welcome to the Productivity Project. This is the first episode of the year 2024. It feels really good to be back, guys. I had a bit of a break from the podcast over Christmas and the New Year, gave my little vocal cords a rest, and just took some time out, really, to stop and smell the roses and really reevaluate where I was going with my business and the podcast and all the things, life in general. And as well as that, obviously, just to take some time out to spend with my family. We had the girls out of childcare for about 10 days and we had them in for a few days as well, so we got some child-free time just together, me and my husband, which we never ever get. So it was a really nice break. It was nice to spend time with family and just to kind of step back and switch off. I think there's always a feeling, and I feel like it's gotten worse over the last few years, or maybe worse isn't the right word, it's gotten more intense over the last few years, that we get to kind of November or December and everybody kind of collectively starts crawling to the finish line or crawling to the end of the year because we are all so exhausted from doing the thing that we've been doing over the last 12 months, which is living our lives, doing the getting up and, you know, wrangling kids or exercising or heading off to work or, you know, doing the groceries, getting the dinner, doing the laundry, buying presents for kids' birthday parties, going to the shops. It just, I think there's obviously a lot more to this life of ours than those things. But I think when you have been doing your thing, whatever your thing is, over and over again, year in, year out, or day in, day out, for a year, I should say, it can feel grueling by the end of the year. It can feel repetitive. We can feel tired. Our energy can feel a bit stale, and we feel like we need a bit of a refresh. And that was definitely where I was at the end of 2023. It was about a year and a half in December that I've had my business. So I'm definitely in the crunchy bit of business life. So I have a great portfolio of clients. I work as a virtual assistant. I specialize in content and marketing for the clients I support. And I have been really fortunate to have such a lovely bunch of people to work with pretty much since the inception of my business. I've had a few new clients join me along the way. Most of my clients have stayed with me since I opened my books, which is really, really amazing. And I am really thrilled at how far I've come in a relatively short space of time. And I say that because I don't think enough of us really take the time to step back and appreciate what we have done and what the progress we have made. I think we can often kind of get to these periods like the end of the year or, you know, the start of a new one where we're kind of thinking and evaluating, and we can really easily just reflect on the things that we haven't done. You know, we said we were going to launch a course this year and we didn't get it out the door. We said we were going to start a podcast, grow our email list, launch a new offer, or even maybe more personal or lifestyle goals like spending time with our kids or having more of a social life, or you know, it might be goals around money or whatever it was that we said we wanted to do for the year. We can often get to the end of the year and look at all the things that we haven't done. We can find ourselves reflecting on what we think we should have achieved or where we think we should be. And it's a really easy place to be in. And I was definitely in that place myself. And a lot of my friends were in that place too. And most of my clients, to be fair. It's really, really common, but it's not very motivating. and it doesn't leave you feeling very good. What can be really energizing and refreshing is to actually shift your perspective a little bit and reflect on the things that you did do. And when I say do, I don't even mean in terms of, you know, ticking things off a list, because like I said in previous episodes, we are so much more than our to-do lists. We are so much more than how productive, in inverted commas, we can be or how much we can get done. So when I say things we did, it can be anything. It can be anything like achieving a goal or, you know, integrating a new habit or spending more time with people you loved or taking up a new hobby or whatever it is. Even if it's none of those big things, even if it's just that you got through the year and you were able to support your family with the income you made from your business or the job that you have, or you were able to take a few more moments with your family or your kids along the way, just reflecting on the really small things that you were able to do. And if you had really tough challenges, as a lot of people did last year, there was a lot going on in the world. And when I say tough challenges, I obviously mean that in context and relative to wherever you are living and whatever circumstance you're in. But even just giving yourself a little pat on the back and appreciating that you survived and you did well and came through whatever you had on or whatever challenges you faced over the past year can be really refreshing to reflect on. So I just wanted to mention that because I know a lot of us, it's mid-January, a lot of us are still kind of in that new year, new me, like goal setting, planning period, and it's really exciting and it's great to see everybody's renewed energy and all the things that people are going to want to do with their lives and their businesses this year. But I just wanted to mention that in case anybody was feeling a little bit of a hangover from last year, and hopefully that new perspective might help you when it comes to reflecting on the year that was. So this little share also brings me to what I wanted to talk about in today's episode. This episode is a little bit different. So if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you'll know that I love talking about all things productivity, and productivity by my definition is helping you get what you need to get done to achieve your goals in the least amount of time that you need to do it in. That is a mouthful sentence, but hopefully that explains what I define as productivity. Productivity is definitely not filling your days with endless tasks and, you know, crazy out of control to-do lists and working all the hours and never seeing your family or friends or having a life or stepping foot outside of your office. That's just working all the time, frankly, and I am not here for it. So if you are not here for it also, stick around. So today I wanted to talk about something that a lot of people I know, clients, friends, other people I know online with small businesses, or when I say small, I mean team-wise, I don't mean revenue-wise, but solo business owners or other people in the business space experienced at the end of last year. And I wanted to share it because I do think it is quite common, but it's something that we don't talk about because I think it's a topic that we can feel a little bit nervous about sharing. I certainly was pretty hesitant to talk to anybody about this when I was going through it. So that's why I wanted to share it today, because I think a lot of content and podcasts and things we read online are often from the perspective of someone who's been through the journey, who are kind of out the other side of the journey we call business life. And I think it's also important to talk about being in the journey and where you're at, you know, 1 year in, 2 years in, 3 years in, the icky bits before you actually kind of find your feet and before you're a roaring success with your name in Hollywood Boulevard, which is clearly my dream. Anyway, today is a confession episode, friends. Today, I want to talk about what I learned after 6 months of hating on my business. Dun dun! Now, look, it sounds very dramatic, and I realize that you may be feeling slightly gutted, thinking that I was possibly going to reveal that I had been at the center of a murder investigation or something similar, but this is not a true crime podcast. This is primarily a podcast for solo business owners and anybody else who likes listening to my voice or learning about productivity. But I wanted to share what I had learned from 6 months of hating my business. And I use hating to summarize a variety of feelings, right? I wasn't always hating it. I enjoy a lot of aspects of my business. I always have. But I wanted to share this because things are not always hearts and roses when it comes to starting your own business. I think there's a huge rhetoric in the online world that, you know, if you are female and you want to work or you need to work or you have the capacity to work, then if you're in a 9-to-5, that's it, and you should stop that right away and move away from it and start your own gig, because until you do, you're never going to feel fulfilled. And while there are parts of that that I definitely identified with, and a lot of people clearly do, because a lot of women start their own business, it suits a lot of women who are mothers. Even if you're not a mom, it suits you, because starting your own business can feel really freeing and exciting, and you can do, you know, something that's completely yours, and you have a chance to set something up exactly the way you want it and grow something of your very own. I mean, starting your own business has really had a moment over the last few years. I think since the pandemic revealed that so many of us in desk jobs did not in fact need the desk to be in the office to do that said desk job, we've entered a whole new era of possibility when it comes to the way we work, and that's no secret anymore, right? But is this obviously cued a complete transformation of how, you know, how businesses employed their teams and their people. And as a result, there was this explosion of small and solo businesses serving work from anywhere freedom to anyone and everyone with a laptop and a skill to offer, pretty much. If you had your own laptop and you knew how to do something, you could start your own business. And honestly, for someone like me who'd spent most of my time in corporate feeling a little bit like, you know, a canary with a clipped wing, for want of a better metaphor, the lure and the possibility behind starting my own gig and possibly making more money in less time than I did in my corporate role, it was too good to say no to. Frankly. So in 2022, I left my corporate role while I was on maternity leave after the birth of my second daughter to start my online business as a virtual assistant. And at first, everything was dandy. I worked hard at securing clients, and as I mentioned, I booked myself out fairly quickly, and most of my clients have stayed with me since I launched, which is amazing. But shortly after I started, something happened. Instagram happened, guys. And suddenly, for those of you who are on social media, you will probably identify a little bit with what I'm about to say next. Suddenly, it wasn't enough to just start a business, get clients for your business, grow your business, and earn money to support your family from your business. It had to be a 6 or 7 figure business, or even 8, I think we're in now. And if it wasn't, I mean, seriously, do you even business, bro? There's this narrative on Instagram that until your business is a certain revenue number, or, you know, 6 figures or 7 figures, whatever it is you want to aim for, until it is that, you have not made it. You have not reached what the definition of success, in inverted commas, is online. And if you are online on social media, you may have noticed a couple of other things as well. So number one, you may have noticed that your offer has to be something that feels aligned. Like, God, the alignment. Like, honestly, if there was such a thing as Kairos for Business, they would make a shit ton. So your offer has to feel aligned. You have to feel lit up by your offer. And if you don't, then it is not. You have not reached business nirvana, guys. And number two, you have to have a compelling and rich why. that involves, you know, possibly a combination of your children, location freedom, you know, the feeling lit up and bloody aligned 24/7, but forget actually telling it like it is and shouting from the rooftops that you're clearly hoping to make as much money as the Instagram coach you've invested your life savings into said you would, because that's not an approved why in the world of female business ownership. And I just want to caveat this by saying this is not a female problem. This is clearly a societal problem from decades of social conditioning of how people feel about a woman who wants to make money. I have lots of things to say about this, but I will save it for another episode because honestly, guys, I could go on, and I know you guys have limited time and the drive to pick up or drop off for school or daycare is not going to last forever. So I will leave that there. But I did want to mention it because I do think that it needs to be said, right? And there's nothing wrong with any of this, right? So feeling aligned, feeling lit up, starting a business so you can spend more time with your kids, working from anywhere, you know, being flexible with when we work or making more money. There is nothing wrong with any of those things. I think the problems start when we start comparing ourselves to the, like, let's be honest, largely exaggerated content we see on our daily scroll-a-thon. And as a result, we can feel ridiculously inadequate because we're not achieving all of these things in 3 seconds. And I have pretty much just reverse engineered you into my story with that little walkthrough, gang. So for about 6 months of last year, I felt this constant kind of, you know, pervading sense of panic and anxiety when it came to my business. I was constantly evaluating where I was at, thinking about where I wanted to go and berating myself because I wasn't moving fast enough, in inverted commas, in my definition of fast enough, I wasn't there. And that freedom and flexibility I dreamed up in my head 12 months ago just wasn't equating to the life I was living day to day. So now that I've shared the Instagram whys, I wanted to share my whys with you. So I started my business for a few reasons. So number one, I started my business to have more creative freedom to grow and make something of my very own and take it in the direction I wanted to take it without answering to anyone or being constrained by mountains of corporate red tape. So that was my first reason. My second reason was to be able to spend more time with my daughters, my husband, and my family. You know, in my previous role, while it was flexible and definitely more so flexible with COVID, I was still commuting to Sydney 2 days a week and tag teaming with my husband to kind of go back and forth with someone doing drop off at 7 a.m. and someone doing pickup at 6 p.m. And the other 2 days I would be working from home, so I would get a little bit of extra time with them, but then it just all really compounded and I felt like we were sort of trapped in this cycle that I didn't really want to be in. And so I decided to explore starting my own gig so that I could free up a little more time. My third reason is because I didn't really want to spend 30 hours of my week feeling forced into working a job I had honestly grown out of. I could do the job with my eyes closed. I'd been in the role I was in for about 7 or 8 years and I wanted to do something else. So that was my third reason. The fourth reason was honestly because I liked the idea of having my own business in the very naive context of sipping on coffees, having meetings in cafes, and going to the beach whenever I wanted. With a side note that, like, no actual work would happen in any of these scenarios. That would just be the life I would live, right? And the fifth reason, honestly, because I thought I'd be able to make more money more easily than I had in my corporate role. That is my fifth reason, because I wanted to make money and I wanted to make it in less time and make it more easily than I had in my corporate role. So fast forward about a year later after I started my business for those reasons. And a year later, I was in a place where I felt like I really had almost none of those things. And I was seriously thinking about going back to my 9 to 5. Seriously. So, and I've mentioned before on this episode that I do not want to be a contributor to the movement of like 9 to 5 hate, and that all good people of the world should have their own business and 9 to 5 is the spawn of Satan. That is not the narrative that I want to perpetuate. But obviously I had some pretty strong reasons for starting my own gig and moving away from a corporate role or a 9 to 5 role. And the fact that I was thinking about going back to that, it made me feel really sad, and it made me feel really disappointed, and it made me feel, if I did that, like I had failed at what I wanted to do. And I also want to caveat all of this by saying I realize the fact that I'm even in a position to be sitting at home at the moment drinking a bloody sparkling water with lemon in it like a, you know, like a wellness influencer, and recording this podcast on a laptop I purchased myself, and banging on about the woes and the horrors of having the luxury of, you know, being able to choose whether you want to start your own business without immediately plummeting into potential bankruptcy is absolutely not a scenario that is available to everyone. In fact, it's probably not immediately available to most people, right? So I'm aware that I am really lucky that I had the opportunity to start my business on maternity leave in a role where I earned comparatively a fairly decent salary, and I had the confidence that I'd be able to return to that role if I ended up in the proverbial shit end of the creek without a paddle. So, that being said, what this all boils down to is one key, gigantic, glaring learning on starting and growing an online business that slapped me in the face at the end of 2023. It literally slapped me like a wet fish, guys. It slapped in the face. The reality of actually businessing is completely different to the Instagram of businessing. And the sooner you realize that and you tape it onto your vision board and you scroll it on your wall in front of your laptop or your monitor, the sooner you will forget about what everybody else is doing and start really focusing on what it actually is that you want to achieve and what kind of business you want to have. You'll forget about the 6 figures or the 7 figures or how fast everyone else is going or how comparatively not fast you're going. And you'll focus again on your own reasons for starting your business and what you actually want to get out of it day to day. So translated, the difference between actually businessing and Instagram businessing is running your own business takes a lot more and it's a lot harder than Instagram would have you believe. And yes, you can absolutely get to a place where you're businessing from a place of ease, where it's not as hard as it was when you started and where you're actually making decent money without working every available minute you have. But to get there, you do have to do the hard bit first. You just do, no matter what anyone tells you in a reel. And I know I've only been in business for 18 months, but I know this is true. And when I actually started acknowledging this, I had a realization that honestly totally changed how I started this year. And we're only just into this year, so this was all pretty recent for me. I realized I still wanted my business. I wanted to grow it, be in it, learn through it, but to do that, I had to actually translate the freedom I wanted and the goals I had into time lived. So what I mean by that is that meant actually working out what that looked like on a daily basis and physically scheduling it into my calendar. So I had to carve out the time with my girls that I'd started my business to have. So that looked like diarizing once a fortnight an early daycare pickup and taking them out for ice cream or taking them to something fun, picking them up at 3 p.m. and just having those extra 2 hours that I work my business around to have my extra time with my girls, which is one of my goals for my business. I had to literally write down and schedule time for things outside my business, aside from scrolling on my bloody phone, that I loved and that would inspire me so that I was the best person I could be when I did sit down at my desk. So I listened to a lot of podcasts about motherhood and parenting, and what the message that is on a lot of the ones I listen to is that it is really important to prioritize you and looking after you so that you can be the best mum that you can be, because without doing that, you're going to be a shell of the mum that you could be. Without prioritizing yourself and scheduling time for you, you are never going to feel like you have a full cup, and that is going to affect what you're able to give to other people. The same is true for your business, guys. So it's really important to schedule time for things outside your business. Even if it's just, you know, a goal of like reading a book once a month, or one book a month, or, you know, going on a walk for 15 minutes a day, or going on a beach swim once a week, just little things that are just for you, where you're not on your phone, you're not thinking about your business, even if you are underneath it, because it seems to be like a 24/7 thing, but something, things that will nurture you and help you feel like when you return to your business and you return to your desk, you're the best person that you can be. The third thing I did was I created goals completely separate to my business that I knew would help me nurture my brain and my sanity. And like I've just mentioned, I prioritized breaking these down into doable things every single month, every single week, every single day. So if I have a goal of, say, reading 26 books this year, so my goal for this year is to read 2 books a month. Hang on, that's incorrect maths. 24 books this year. So my goal this year is to read 2 books a month, because I love reading and it's something that I've completely given up, probably since I've had my kids. So what that looks like broken down is a goal to read, you know, it's 24 books a year, 2 books a month, and then I break that down week by week. So my goal day by day looks like I'm reading 20 minutes before I go to bed every day, or I'm picking up my book instead of picking up my phone, and that's a habit that I'm going to integrate. So it's about translating these bigger goals into tiny little things that you do every day to help you actually live them. So I mapped out how living my goals will look day to day. And doing this has really helped me move away from the big, giant, scary, overwhelming picture, you know, the 6 and the 7 figures and the lofty business with, you know, the giant team, or, you know, escalating to like a $1 million offer or whatever it is, away from that and toward actually living and liking the journey toward achieving what I want to achieve. And honestly, guys, I'm 15 days in and I'm really liking how 2024 is looking so far. So I'm really keen to continue the way I've started. I will be sharing what my goals for the year are in my weekly newsletter, the Mindful Time Small Group. I have restarted sending out issues again this year. I had a little hiatus, or a long hiatus, for a while. But if you do want to hear what my goals are for the year, if you want to get some goal inspiration, I'd love to have you join us. So if you would like to get on my newsletter small group list, visit cathuntervea.com/workless, where you'll also get a little freebie called 5 days to work 5 hours less every single week, which is my free guide to help you work 5 hours less every single week. So you'll get that, and you'll also be added to my weekly newsletter, which goes out every week as of 2024. So thank you so much for listening, guys, and it's so good to have you join me for 2024. I really, really, truly appreciate everybody who listened in 2023. I loved having everybody's feedback and comments and hearing what you all thought of the podcast. So I can't wait to bring you more mindful productivity content for this year via the podcast and my newsletter. You can almost follow me over on good old Instagram. I'm at cathunter.va. All right, until next week, guys, have a great week, and I will chat to you again then.